and gentlemen, Bodges, Banks and Sparks. Hijack. Hello and welcome to Bodgers, Banks and Sparks. First of all, we'd like to introduce ourselves. Hello, Murray, I'm John.
Hi, John Murray.
Nice to meet you.
Very nice to see you.
Hello, Murray, I'm Pete.
Murray, nice to meet you.
Hello, John. I'm John Sparks.
Hello, John. Nice to meet you. John.
Yes.
You'll be one of Banks?
Hello. One of Banks, how are you? Murray Hunter.
Nice to meet you.
Right, now, tonight, what we're going to be trying...
Okay, freeze! Everybody! Nobody move!
If everyone does exactly as I say, then no one gets hurt, okay? Now, I've hijacked this radio program, and if your government does not meet with my demands, I shall start taking one person at a time and force them to watch some contemporary dance!
Oh, no!
I'm serious! Don't fool me! Now, we've just got to wait for the media to arrive. They should be here any moment.
Hi, are you the terrorist?
Oh, what does it look like?
All right, keep your shirt on, Now look, could we get a few pictures of you and one of the hostages?
Yeah, okay.
Hostages, could you open your eyes wide, nice and wide? Show me a bit of fear.
Oh, yes, that's lovely.
Mr. Terrorist, could you look a bit mean, please? A bit sort of angry.
Who's a bad boy?
Yes, you sir. Could you put your lips round the gun?
That's enough photographs for just now. Right, I'm going to read my demand out. You may wish to take notes. I demand that somebody be brought here to explain to me exactly what's happening in the Middle East.
Good evening, this is a newsflash. I'm sorry to interrupt your usual diet of mindless junk, but reports are just reaching us that an entire cast and audience of a radio show has been hijacked by a fanatical, if somewhat confused, international relations student. And I understand, yes, I understand we can now go over live for a statement from the American government.
The position of the United States government in relation to the hijack situation is as follows. The American administration cannot and will not say anything of any significance whatsoever. Go see Rambo. Well, that was the American envoy with special responsibility for saying bogo. And we've just heard that contemporary dance is now being carried out by the terrorists. We go live to the stage.
Newsflash, radio newsflash.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I do too, Nigel. Yeah. I'll see you later. Welcome back on this, the third minute of what is already being widely dubbed the siege. And I believe we'll be getting a statement from the British government at any moment.
Come on, Sir Nigel, we've only got 2 minutes. The press are waiting.
How about we are horrified and deeply shocked by this latest outrage.
No, Kinnock said he was outraged.
You're damned.
Stunned? Not strong enough.
Really stunned?
Utterly and absolutely stunned.
What about shocked, stunned, outraged, horrified, sickened, saddened, gobsmacked, and a bloody sight more upset than anybody else?
No, too long.
I've just heard the statement is about to be issued by the Conservative government.
Ladies and gentlemen of the press, roses are red, violets are blue. We hate terrorism, hope you do too. No questions.
Now, I've just been joined in the studio by the Under Secretary of State for really important things. Minister, what is the situation? I see. Is that the position of the Prime Minister as well? I see. And finally, what of the outcome? Minister, thank you. But now we go live for a message from the terrorist religious leader and guru, Mr. Rabbi Bunkers.
My children, never forget that if is the middle word of life, that eat is the middle word of death, and that itty-natty is the middle word of nicky-natty-no.
Well, there you are, incomprehensible, but certainly fanatical. And now, important news at the siege. We've just heard that the publicity and media attention has apparently gone to the terrorist head. We go over live to the press conference.
Okay, just leave it messy. Okay, thanks very much.
I'd now like to move things right along by doing a little song. Okay, guys, 1, 2, 3, 4. I know why Terry Wogan's famous. I know what happened to the Mary Celeste. I even know why the pound goes up or down. But there's just one thing that's bothering me. I know where you can find Lord Lucan. I know God's middle name. I even know why people iron their underpants. I know the German word for penis is vent. But there's just one thing that's bothering me. What's happening in the Middle East? Who's fighting where? Who's fighting who? Who's moving out of where? Can you put me on the right track about Iraq? Is everything fine in the Palestine? Tell me what's going on in Lebanon. Should I shed a tear for Yitzhak Shamir? Is Assad all that bad? Should I be a fan of Moshe Dayan? Can you tell me about Gaddafi? What's happening in the Middle East? Why the fights in the Golan Heights? Have the Jews got the blues? Who's in the wrong? Who's in the right? What is a Shiite? Tell me what's the food in Beirut? Tell me what's the food in Beirut?
Well, thank you very much, everybody. Thank you, Mr. Terrorist. Let me introduce myself. My name is Hilda Rubinstein of Rubinstein & Rubinstein Theatrical Agents. We represent anybody in the entertainment industry at all, excepting, of course, hams. Ah, just a little Jewish joke for you there. Okay, I'm here to inform the press and public that we have acquired the services of the terrorist here, and he will be available for hijackings, extortion, international terrorism, and bar mitzvahs as of the end of this month. Let me also just add that our paperback, Stick 'em Up, Anatomy of a Terrorist, will be available from all leading bookstores at a similar time. The launch party, to which ladies and gentlemen of the press are most cordially invited, will take place on the 25th, hopefully on flight 0385, Gatwick to Bahrain. May I just say that as a goodwill gesture, we have agreed to release one of the hostages if Polydor agree to release our single. Thank you.
Newsflash about the hostage crisis.
And we've just been joined by one of the hostages who was released only a few moments ago. Can you tell me about your ordeal?
I simply have no words for the terror. They were nightmare hours.
If I could just butt in here to say that our paperback, Nightmare Hours, Story of a Survivor, will be available from all leading bookstores shortly.
And I've just been joined by someone else. Sorry, there's great confusion here. You are...
If I could just explain, Mr. Swithers here was not actually involved in the hijacking question, but did once get strip searched at Heathrow Airport. And strip... The horrible, naked, bloody truth will be serialized in the news of the world as from Sunday.
Thank you. So, Mr. Swithers, what was it like?
Chilly.
Thanks very much. And now we're going over live for a special report from the Lebanon.
Hello. Me again, Shadwell. I just pop in to do a poem. Well, this time I thought I'd do it about my girlfriend, because we went out with Sean Jones on Tuesday. It was a blind date, so I didn't know what she looked like. Still don't, because she didn't turn up. Anyway, when Mrs. Greeley, one of our neighbours, heard about that, she said I could go out with her niece, Gwynedd, who's quite a bit older than me. She said that Gwynedd Greeley would bring me out of myself, so I thought I'd better wear a scarf. We arranged to meet, and I got there first, and when she got there, she said, oh, so you've arrived, Shadwell. And the strange thing was... I had arrived. And then she said, well, shall we go to the pictures? But I went to the pictures last year, so there wasn't much point in going again, really. So she said, all right, why don't we go to the club Spunkin'? Spunkin' a go-go. So we did. In we went, and Gwynedd asked me to get her a drink, so I went up to the bar, and the man said, what'll it be? Well, as there were two of us, I said, double, please. Double what? Double beer. Don't talk tup, said the man, or I'll get Big Mog to throw you out. What do you want to drink? So I pointed at something behind the bar, and he said, that's an ornament. Well, eventually I got a drink, and Gwynedd drank it all up and said she felt like dancing. Come on, Shadwell, she said, let's bogey. Well... I wasn't quite sure how to do the dancing, so every time a new record came on, I jumped as high as I could. I only stopped when I noticed that somebody'd been sick in the hood of my anorak. We sat down then. Then Gwynedd said, we're doing some serious drinking tonight, so I tried to look a bit stern. And she started breathing very heavily and leaned over and said, Shadwell, you don't think I've got a moustache, do you? So I said, no, but I think you'd look very nice in one. And I tried to make a bit of light conversation. I asked her, how's your mum and dad? Still dead. Oh, they're not any better then. And then she got up and went to the toilet. And when she came back, I said, nice and friendly. They have enough paper for you today. And I don't think they did because she looked quite annoyed. Then Gwynedd had another drink and she said, cheerio, Shadwell. Where are you going? No, no, cheerio, Shadwell. So I went home. I wrote this poem about a girl. Mary, Mary, quite a fat person. She sat on a thing which broke. It's not very nice to laugh at her because then she might sit on you. To teach you, isn't it? Thank you very much. Bye-bye, then.
Well, I'm sorry, that's not quite the report we were anticipating. Moving on, it is widely expected now that the SES will try to deal with the hostage crisis. We now broadcast a repeat of our award-winning documentary, Donuts, the Story of the SES. Derek joined the SES 3 weeks ago.
Yes, well, I couldn't get a job down the village, like, and everything had closed. It just seemed like a great opportunity.
The first 3 weeks of Derek's training can be broken down as follows. For 3 days and three nights, he was systematically tickled by the commanding officer. For a week, he was deprived of food
water, and at times even of air. Considerably weakened, he was sent on manoeuvres to Scunthorpe. Not in itself rigorous, but his penis was sent to Darlington. He has spent the past 1.5 weeks submerged in a vat of pig's offal and sheep's intestines, with his nose stapled to his bottom and his testicles gaffer-taped to his forehead.
No, sir. No regret, sir. No, it's great. No, I wouldn't do anything else, sir. No, this is the life for me, sir.
We join the recruits on inspection.
Jones! Why is there a white thread on the shoulder of your uniform, man?
Because you put that there, sir.
Very good. Regimental Sergeant Major, have this man taken outside and chainsawed.
Thank you very much, sir.
After slaughtering a carload of French tourists for parking on a double yellow line, Victor Corleone was considered simply too dangerous to continue working as a traffic warden. He was immediately recruited for the SAS.
Yeah. Good morning, men.
Good morning, sir.
And welcome to your last day of training. As you probably know, you're here for one reason. Your courage. Your discipline. Your brain. Your intelligence. And your initiative. Don't batter a jot. You're here because you're stupid. And because Broadmoor was poor. Now, there's been a slight change of plan for this week's 97-mile training run. Firstly, it's a 197-mile training run. And secondly, as you may remember, you were initially all going to be superglued together. Well, instead, you will now report to the regiment's doctor to have your legs amputated. And those of you who complete the exercise in less than 55 minutes will get your legs back. However, anyone found on the run not wearing socks will be caught. Dismissed.
It is testament to the severity of the SAS training that of the 13 new recruits, 17 have already committed suicide. Even the regiment's pet dog threw itself under a bus rather than be patted again by the commanding officer.
Eating a burger is not as nice as hearing all the latest news about the hostage crisis.
We interrupt the documentary to return to a dramatic development at the siege. We understand that the hijacker has now been hijacked himself by a second hijacker. I don't think this has ever happened before. We go back live.
Okay, right, freeze. Nobody move. I'm serious. You've got a gun.
You bloody right, I've got a gun.
Well, put it away. I'm trying to kidnap these people.
Sorry. First come, first served.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. 3 months training in the Angolan waste. 2 months.
You weren't involved in the Gates to Watered Angolan banana coup of 75, were you?
Yeah.
You're not.
Ex-Lieutenant Nobby Nobson, yes.
Ex-Private Johnny No Legs, Batting Charge, Little Whistling Moustache Norbertson.
No Legs!
Nobby!
Well, I never, eh?
Me neither.
How are things,
eh? Well, you know, a bit on the thin side, to be honest, really. Well, what with most of the work going to these Middle Eastern Johnnies these days?
Look, I hope you don't think I'm being rude, but what were your demands for this lot?
Well, to begin with, I just wanted to know what was going on in the Middle East.
Well, I can tell you that.
Yeah?
Yes, well, it's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, so I heard. But no one knows specifics, you see. So I'm thinking of asking for £500,000.
£500,000?
Well, you've got to earn your money. I mean, do you think it's made from trees?
It is, actually.
Look, shut up!
Still, £500,000. I was only going to ask for £100,000.
After that, all we're working, isn't it, you cheapskate?
Look, stand up, I said! Just stand there and look hijacked, will you? Look, we've got to work this one out, Nobby. I mean, we can't both have them.
Well, I don't want to be hijacked by old cheapo.
Yeah, let's go where the money is.
And then I will make the decisions, thank you very much. Look, I'll strike a deal with you.
Yeah?
You take one of them. Yeah?
What, kidnap? It's a bit down the market, isn't it? All right, what's the sauce for the goose is east for the gas, I suppose. Okay, which one?
I'm not going to
be that. Oh, charming. I've got a very nice flat. I've got a video. Okay. You.
Brilliant. What videos have you got?
Well, I've only got one, actually.
Which one?
Morons from Outer Space.
Oh.
No, it's okay. You don't have to watch it. Right, now, come here. Sorry about this, but I've got a blindfold, you see, you don't know where you're going, right?
Do you have to?
Yeah. Right. Spin you around five times and...
Right. Okay, let's go. I'm taking you to my flat. Catch you later, Oleg.
We now go live to the kidnapper's flat.
Right. What's your parents' phone number?
Oh, George, turn that radio off, man.
Oh, certainly my fictional friend.
Now, on that subject, George...
What is it? What subject? Phone numbers, really?
Yes, phone numbers. I have real trouble remembering my phone number.
What is it?
246-8071.
So what's the trouble there?
Well, that's the wrong number. The funny thing is, I have absolutely no trouble whatsoever telling people the wrong number. That's easy. But the right number, I just can't remember.
Well, why don't you just memorize all the wrong ones, if that's what you find easy, and then you'll have one number left, which will be the right one.
Yeah.
Well, either do that, or do what I do.
What's that?
Well, take my number, okay? 246-8026. I've worked out a way to remember it. First bit, 246, right?
Right.
First of all, it's a 2, then it's a 4, then it's a 6.
So...
Well, that's how I remember the first part. I remember it 2, followed by 4, followed by 6.
That's an ingenious system.
Wow. It's infallible if I remember the numbers,
yeah.
Obviously. I mean, then for the second part, I use exactly the same system. It's an 8, then a 0, then a 2, and then a 6.
And as you say, George, it could be tricky if you forgot the numbers or, say, like, got them in the wrong order or something.
Oh, you see, but to guard against that, I occasionally do some sums to help me.
Like what?
Well, like 2 is 1 plus 1, then 19 minus 15 is 4, 3 times 2 is 6. And that's your 246.
Oh, yeah?
Then 48 divided by 6 is 8, 3,672 minus 3,672 is 0, 1,800,000 divided by 900,000 is 2, and finally just add 4 to that, you've got 6, 8026.
Oh, great idea, George, I must say. You see, I'm so sick of trying to remember it now. I just never bother to remember it.
Oh, why ever not, man?
Well, I never phone me, really, you know, why bother?
I'm terribly sorry, Donald. I've lost the place in the script entirely.
George, you dopey old guy. You see, I'm so sick of the whole thing, George, I just don't bother to remember mine at all.
Why not, man?
Well, I never phone me. I mean, why bother?
You never phone you?
Well, only very occasionally. I mean, I've lost touch, really. But it doesn't matter anyway. I don't have a phone. You see, that's another reason why I don't bother to remember my number.
Just turn the radio back on, okay?
Right. What's your parents' phone number?
All right, it's 246-8071.
246-8071.
Hello?
Ah, hello, Mrs. Oh, what's your name?
Simpkin.
Simpkin. Now listen very carefully if you ever want to see your son again.
No, I'm sorry, he's not here, baby.
Look, hold on, wait, wait.
Hello?
Yes, hello. It's me again.
What?
Me. Oh, never mind. Listen, I've got your son.
You what? George, there's a young man here, says he's got our bun. Have you lost any?
No! Not bun, Mrs. Simpkin's son.
Oh, that's okay. We've got another copy. I think it's the newsagent's, George.
Why didn't you tell me she was dead?
You didn't ask,
Mrs. Simpkin. Listen to me. Not your S-U-N, your S-O-N, your child.
Oh, no, no, no. We don't have any. They're all grown lads
that's
now.
That's right. And I got one of them.
What?
Luke, turn the phone round the other way.
Oh, yes, that's better. Now, what is it you want, young man?
I want some money.
Oh, we haven't got any.
Well, listen very carefully. You've got 2 hours to get some, or we'll cut off your son's nose and post it to you. So if you ever want your son to smell again, you'd better get the money.
Oh, how much do you want, young man?
£100,000. If I don't get it after the nose every day, we'll send you one more item. It'll be his ear, then his pinky, his index fingers, toes, legs, lips, arms, torso, and finally his buttocks. You won't see your son complete again until next Christmas. You'll have half of him by the summer, but not his legs. His legs and his buttocks come last.
Also, hopefully, sit down.
I don't know, we'll send some cushions, improvise. But anyway, it won't come to that, will it?
Oh, well, we'll try.
Oh, where are we going to get that sort of money, George, my husband?
The bank warehouse, woman.
Good morning, can I help you?
It's really convenient living in a bank, isn't it?
Oh, yes, please. Could you tell me how much I have in my account?
Yes, indeed. 73p.
Oh, not £100,000, then?
No.
So you wouldn't have cashed me a cheque for £100,000, then?
Insufficient funds, I'm afraid.
Oh, but my son's been kidnapped, and I have to pay the ransom.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so? We have a special loan facility for that sort of thing. As long as you've got some security against the loan.
Oh, we've got another son. You can have him.
No, that's fine. Just sign your cheque, please.
The authors would like to make it clear at this point that this sort of thing does not happen in real life. It is merely a dramatic device in order to speed along the story. And in relation to the kidnap, we hear that time is running out for the hostage.
Right. The money's not here. Cut his nose off and send it to my recently introduced evil assistant. Okay, boss.
Hello?
Mrs. Simpkin?
Yes?
A parcel for you.
Oh, my God, they've done it. It must be his nose.
But the package is 6 feet long, woman.
Oh, God, it was a bit cramped in there.
What happened, son?
Well, they got mixed up. They sent me and kept the nose.
Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Simpkin. We've just realised a mistake. It's a bit of a cock-up in our fund, really. So, you've got your son back, then? In one piece?
Mostly.
Yeah, mostly. Mostly, obviously. Now, just to say that we do still have the nose. Now, obviously, our bargaining position is somewhat down, and I do admit that £100,000 is a bit excessive for just the nose. So I'm willing to negotiate.
Yes?
Let's say 75p.
Done.
Right, the nose is on its way.
And news has just reached us that the kidnap is over. The hostage is safe and well, but is rumoured to be having difficulty keeping his glasses on. Sorry, I'm not quite sure what that means. And I've just heard that the SAS are storming the studio.
Hey, wait a minute. It was only a joke. We didn't really hijack the show.
No?
No.
Oh. I love a happy ending.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Bodgers, Banks and Sparks with the Bodgers, who are Murray Hunter, Johnny No Name, Gordon Kennedy, Pete Bakey, and Moana Banks and John Sparks. Written by Murray Hunter and John Doherty, Moana Banks and John Sparks. Music by Pete Bakey, produced by Alan Nixon.